I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Instead of playing an episode from an old time radio show this week, I present for your listening pleasure the second annual Old Time Radio Trivia Bowl, recorded last year at the Cincinnati Old Time Radio Convention. The sound is poor because the recording was made with a video camera from across the room, but you should be able to understand it okay, especially if you listen with headphones. I've edited out the dead air and the pauses, so the show moves along much more quickly here than it did when it was recorded. The format is simple. I ask 10 questions from a particular old-time radio category, then I give the answers. If you'd like to play along, get your pencils and paper out and be ready to hit your pause button after I ask each question to give you time to write your answer down. The winners of the contest, the Burchette Quartet, are pictured on the accompanying blog report. Now take a look at these fellas. Don't you think you can do better than this bunch? I ask that rhetorical question because we need teams for this year's convention. 4 people to a team, free entry, prizes to the winners, and everybody has a ball. You can't lose. The contest will be this Friday night, April 13. Yep, that's Friday the 13th, after the recreations. Hope to see you there. And now, for May 13, 2011, here's the second annual Cincinnati Old Time Radio Trivia Bowl.
Round number one, 10 questions about openings of shows. I'm going to give the opening of the show. You write down the name of the show. Number one, from Times Square to Columbus Circle. The gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Number two, fed up with the everyday grind. Tired of the dull routine? Want to get away from it all? That's number two. Number three, get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison, or the grave. Number four, weight, 237 pounds. Fortune, danger. Number five, I figured everybody knew four right away. Blank invites you to match wits with him as he relates the mystery, and before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve it. Number six. In the territory out west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. Number seven. The small things in everyday life are pretty much the same in every family. Number eight. Once again, we are ready to unlock the ponderous volume in which I recorded all the secrets and mysteries of mankind throughout the ages. Number nine. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. Number ten. To friends and neighbors alike, Steve Adams appeared to be nothing more than the young owner of the Broken Bow Cattle Spread. Okay, let's take a look at the answers of round one. I'm going to read the title. You yell them out to me. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, Broadway is my beat. Fed up with the everyday grind?
Escape.
Get this and get it straight?
Adventures of Philip Marlowe.
Philip Marlowe is right.
Adventures of Philip Marlowe.
Yes. Weight, 237 pounds?
Batman.
The fat man. Blank invites you to match wits with him? That was Ellery Queen. In the territory out west, there's just one. That's Gunsmoke, which we're doing tomorrow. The small things in everyday life are pretty much the same in every family. How many years have we heard Fred Foy read that as the introduction to Ethel and Albert? Once again, we are ready to unlock the ponderous volume, the sealed book. Nine, the man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. That was Jimmy Stewart in The Six Shooter. And to friends and neighbors alike, Steve Adams appeared to be nothing more?
Straight arrow.
Round number two. Put a number two, or put your team number on your sheet number two.
And a little slower.
Thank you, yeah. The topic is sitcoms. Number one. Name two actors who played Henry Aldrich on the radio. Name two actors who played Henry Aldrich on the radio. Number two. 40 years before The Simpsons, a radio sitcom was set in the all-American town of Springfield. Name the family of that show. Number three, name the sitcom father who belonged to the amiable and antique order of prehistoric monsters. Number four, what announcer was known as Waxy? Five, what show gave us Oogie Pringle? Number six, the early NBC comedy, The Cuckoo Hour, was set in what business establishment? Number seven, who played Lily Ruskin? Number eight, Gildersleeve was water commissioner of what city? Number nine, who starred in Leave It to Joan? And number 10, what was the name of Mel Blanc's bizarre assistant in his fix-it shop? Okay, here we go. Number one, the two actors who played. Well, there were several. There were more than two. Ezra Stone, everybody probably got. Also, Norman Tokar, Raymond Ives, Dick Jones, and Bobby Ellis all had the role. What was the program I was looking for set in Springfield?
Anderson.
That is the answer I was looking for. It was Father Knows Best, and the family was the Andersons. Number three, the sitcom father who belonged, and this was probably a little rough, the amiable and antique order of prehistoric monsters was the lodge of... Nobody? Ozzie Nelson. Everybody probably knew Waxy. Arlo Wilcox. Oogie Pringle was from... A Date with Judy. The Cuckoo Hour was set in what business establishment? Radio station KUKU. And if you just put radio station, that's fine. Who played Lily Ruskin? This was another radio show that moved to television. The show was December Bride. The actress was Spring Byington. Gildersleeve was water commissioner of what city? Summerfield. Summerfield is what I have. That's what they have. That's why we have our experts over here. Who starred in Leave It to Joan? Joan Davis. And Mel Blanc's bizarre assistant, who sounded a lot like Porky Pig on drugs, was named Zuki. Round three, detectives. Number one, what character was played by Ned Weaver, Matt Crowley, and Barry Thompson? Ned Weaver, Matt Crowley, and Barry Thompson all played the role of whom? Number two, name the freelance detective who was always ready with a hand for oppressed men and an eye for repressed women. I should emphasize that like this. A hand for oppressed men and an eye for repressed women. Who is that? Number three. Don't yell this one out in unison, please. What was Candy Matson's phone number? Number four. In what country did Pursuit take place? Number five. Name the reformed burglar who became a private detective. Number six. Why was the show Rogues Gallery so named? Number seven. Who was played by all of these actors? Edgar Berrier, Brian Ahern, Vincent Price, Tom Conway, and Barry Sullivan. Number eight, what popular show was originally called Detective Story Hour? We're throwing out question number nine because I have it incorrect. And again, that's why we got these guys. The question I was going to ask was who was the wife of the Thin Man? Martin points out the Thin Man was a dead body, not the star. I was looking for Lord Charles, did not work. No points on number nine. So we go to number 10. Thank you, Martin. Everybody gets credit for number nine. You're also smart. That Hammer Guy was a crime drama based on the works of what author? Okay, here we go. Number one, what character was played by Ned Weaver, Matt Crowley, and Barry Thompson? Dick Tracy. Who was the freelance detective always ready with a hand for oppressed men and an eye for oppressed women? Michael Wearing the Falcon. Slap your foreheads. Everybody, Candy Manson's phone number.
UConn 28209.
Thank you. In what country did Pursuit take place?
England.
It was England, yes. The reformed burglar who became a detective? Raffles.
Boston Blackie, too.
Boston Blackie.
We'll ask our judges. Is Boston Blackie a good answer?
We thought we saw that, but I don't recall Boston Blackie being a detective.
Sure he was.
Marty.
Sure he was.
He played the role of
a Seattle
Lakers.
Yes. Let's give him that. Okay. Well, we will accept that too. Hey. We wanted to come back next year. Who was played by Edgar Berrier, Brian Ahern, Vincent Price, Tom Conway, and Barry Sullivan? The key, of course, being Vincent Price, the Saint. What popular show was... This is a fun one. What popular show was originally called Detective Story Hour? Who knows?
The Shadow.
And that Hammer guy was based on the works of... Mickey Spillane, who wrote Mike Hammer. Number four. What's your team number on sheet number four? Here we go. Number one. What is significant about this sentence? It is 58 years since Nathaniel Hawthorne, the greatest of American fictionists, passed away. These are miscellaneous, by the way. Not anybody gets this, but we'll see. What is significant about this sentence? It is 58 years since Nathaniel Hawthorne, the greatest of American fictionists, passed away. I'll give you a hint. I talked about this in my radio history broadcasting class. Number two, name the Michigan summer camp whose name became a well-known OTR term of endearment. Number three, fill in the blank. Frank Parker, Kenny Baker, blank, Larry Stevens. Number four, why did Grace Galvin always wear long sleeves? Number five, who went to Hudson High School? Number six, what show had a character named Digby? D-I-G-B-Y, Digby. Number seven, who ended his nightly broadcast with "So Long Until Tomorrow"? Number eight, and Don, don't sing this answer. Give me the next word in this jingle. Get Wild Root Cream Oil, blank. Thank you, Don. Don, I thought of you when I wrote down. Number nine, what bears bitter fruit? And number ten, name Bob and Ray's roving reporter who was always upcut when they put him live on the air. Answers. The sentence. What is significant about this? Michael, did you know this? It is 58 years since Nathaniel Hawthorne, the greatest of American fictionists, passed away.
Queensborough Corporation, Hawthorne Estates, WEAF. August 28th, 1922.
August 28th, actually. But basically what he's saying is this was the first line of the first radio commercial ever. Advertising, believe it or not, a condominium complex outside of New York City.
Oh,
well,
it's in New York.
Okay. I assumed that was...
He's still there.
Oh, it is still there.
Number two, the Michigan summer camp, whose name became a term of endearment, was Camp Kimosabe. Number three, Frank Parker, Kenny Baker, blank, and Larry Stevens.
Dennis Day,
the vocalist son of Jack Benny program from the beginning to the end. Number four, why did Gracie Allen wear long sleeves? To cover up a scar from a burn, yes. Who went to Hudson High School? Jack everybody knows Jack Armstrong. Digby was the character in what program?
Like Michael Ryan.
Digger Odell was his more common name, yes. Who ended his broadcast with "So Long Until Tomorrow"?
Lowell Thomas.
Lowell Thomas did. Don Wilder Cream Oil?
Charlie!
What bears bitter fruit?
The wheat of pride.
Bob and Ray's roving reporter?
Ollie Ballou.
Ollie Ballou. Wally Ballou, but he always came out Lee Ballou. Okay, last round. Here we go. Obscure programs. I'm going to give you the name of an obscure show. You tell me the person who starred in that show who was not so obscure. I will give you a hint. Answers may be used more than once. I'm going to give the name of the show. You give me the actor who was famous. Number one, The Busy Mr. Bingle. The Busy Mr. Bingle. These are probably going to be pretty tough. Unless you're a specialist in the particular actor who was in these shows that lasted about a week and a half. Number two, the program was called Christopher London. Christopher London. Number three, Let Yourself Go.
Let
Yourself Go. Number four, Nightmare. Number five, Bold Venture.
That's like 100 something of
them. Maybe not that obscure. Number six, The Linnet Bath Club Review. L-I-N-I-T. The Linnet Bath Club Review. Number seven, One Out of Seven. The program was called One Out of Seven. Problem.
Yeah.
Which one?
Number eight.
Okay.
There's two different series of the same titles. One you're referring to is
Audition Only.
Yeah, Twilight.
Okay, we will skip number eight. Number eight was Mystery House, and the answer I had was Bela Lugosi. So we'll skip that. Everybody gets that one. Number nine, Jeff Reagan Investigator. And number ten, Mr. and Mrs. Blandings. By the way, the team that has the highest score, each team member gets a certificate that lets them pick one of the prizes from the auction table tomorrow morning. Okay, let's see if you knew any of these. The Busy Mr. Bingle starred Digger Odell, John Brown. And also, what was his name, Karen, on Damon Runyon Theater?
Broadway.
Broadway on Damon Runyon Theater, yes. Christopher London. Probably didn't even know he was in radio. Glenn Ford. Glenn Ford was Christopher London. Let Yourself Go. Milton Berle. Nightmare. Peter Lorre. Bold Venture. I have Humphrey Bogart. And Lauren Bacall. Okay, good. Yeah, I did leave a big one out there. The Linnet Bath Club Review was an early show by
Red Allen.
One Out of Seven gave a lot of people trouble.
Jack Webb.
Jack Webb is correct.
You don't think that Jack Rich would get that one.
Jeff Reagan Investigator. Jack Webb again. And Mr. and Mrs. Blandings. And he starred in the movie Mr. and Mrs. Blandings Build a Dream House. Cary Grant is correct. Okay, what do you think? Was this fun enough to do again next year?
Oh, yeah.
Have a good time. Our judges are tabulating official results.
Make them easier next time.
I've had requests from the judges that we do one more round. I'm going to pretend the score's tight and this is a tiebreaker, even though they're probably not.
Okay.
They like this particular round right here. The name of the round is Animals. Name the show in which the animal appeared. Number one, Scout. Number two, Minerva. Number three is Topper. Number four is Asta, A-S-T-A. Five is Bullet. Six is Sandy. Seven is Tony. Tony, T-O-N-Y, Tony. Eight is McDougal. Nine is King.
Bonus points if somebody can come up with the original name.
What was
King, K-I-N-G.
The original name of the show?
Of the dog.
Ooh. You weren't supposed to tell him it was a dog. And by jumping in like that, they know which programs you are most closely associated with, sir. Okay, number 10, Howard and Bernice.
Yeah, but I would, you know, I'd rather have them argue with you than me, because you know
the stuff. Okay, here we go. Number 1, Scout. Tonto's dog. Tonto's dog. Next to Silver, he looked like a dog. Minerva.
Armis Brooks.
Mrs. Davis's cat, yes, on Armis Brooks. Popper was the horse of? Hopalong Cassidy. Asta was on the Thin Man. The Thin Man was a dead body, by the way. Bullet was Roy Rogers' dog. Sandy was Little Orphan Annie's dog. Tony?
Tom
Mix's horse. McDougal may have been a little difficult for some of you.
Armis Brooks,
Mr. Boynton's frog. King? Challenge of the Yukon or Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, and now Terry will tell you what it was originally named.
The original name was Mongol.
We like
Mongol.
There was a lot of protestation from Mongols right into the program, not liking it. And my favorite, Howard and Bernice, who can forget one of the saddest episodes in serial radio, when Mr. Gumfox, the junk man's horse, Bernice, died. Demise of Bernice, Vic and Sadie. Howard was Bernice's brother. He had two horses, and Bernice died. And poor Howard was left to pull the wagon by himself. Okay, we will now get our results tabulated, hand out the prizes, and thank you all for playing our game.
What are the scores?
We're working on it. They're adding.
Results will be released Monday.
If they hadn't been hitting that bottle right there between them, we would have this. I'm going to have to probably re-add the scores before.
From Greek mythology, we have to have a tiebreaker.
We have a tie. So we're going to have a playoff of 10 more questions just for groups number 2 and 4.
All right.
2 and 4 are tied.
Is this category female detective?
I don't have any female detective category. Okay, this one is going a different direction than the other. This, again, back to the old classroom. Sorry, Mike, you're out of this now. Radio history questions. Number 1. Name the Kentucky melon farmer who invented a primitive form of radio in 1892 and is considered by some to be the father of radio. It was from Murray, Kentucky. There's a hint for you. That's number 1. Invented radio in his barn. Number 2. Name the Canadian inventor who claimed to have made voice and music broadcasts on Christmas Eve 1906, when dots and dashes were still the only noises wireless transmitters could produce. Number 3, name the inventor of FM radio who committed suicide by walking out a window. Number 4, name the man who is considered primarily responsible for the suicide of the previous answer.
No!
The Beatles are shaking their heads.
The only ones we know all the answers and we're eliminated.
Too bad.
Number 5, list the 4 original major 3-letter radio networks in order from oldest to newest. The 4 original major 3-letter radio networks. Number 6, name the 4 stations that joined to become the Mutual Network. Number 7, NBC Red and NBC Blue were quite famous, but what 3 states had stations in NBC Orange? These are tough. If somebody gets one of them, that might do it. Number 8, name the 4 corporations that were involved in the creation of NBC, the National Broadcasting Corporation, the 4 stations that were involved in its creation. Number 9, name the comedian who started a radio network called the Amalgamated Broadcasting System in 1933 and closed it down 2 months later after losing over $300,000, quite a fortune in 1933.
Kind of unfortunate.
Number 10, name the federal radio regulatory agency that preceded the FCC. Did you get all 10, Mike?
Yeah. And he got 12.
Is Bob Rochette here? He's the one with the prizes. I think. He didn't give them to us, dude. You'll have to get your prizes. We'll have to catch Bob in the morning and get your prizes. All this for naught. Okay, here we go. The Kentucky melon farmer was named Nathan B. Stubblefield.
Why did we second?
You knew that. Slap your forehead. Slap your forehead. Number 2, the Canadian inventor who claimed to have made voice and music broadcasts on Christmas Eve 1906, Reginald Fessenden. Number 3, the inventor of FM who committed suicide, Major Edwin Armstrong. The man who led him to it, David Sarnoff. David Sarnoff had him in court every day for like 38 years because Sarnoff didn't want anybody else to have FM radio. Number 5, the original major networks, NBC first, then CBS, then MBS, a mutual, and then ABC. The four stations that joined to become mutual, WOR in New York City, WGN in Chicago, WXYZ in Detroit, and WLW in Cincinnati. NBC Red and Blue were famous. NBC Orange was the West Coast branch. California, Oregon, and Washington, the three West Coast states. The four corporations that created NBC, RCA, Westinghouse, GE, and AT&T. The comedian who lost a fortune on a network was Ed Wynn. And before the FCC was the FRC, the Federal Radio Commission. How are we doing?
We've got a winner. We've kept the results on a closed mayonnaise jar on the front porch of the Lagmore afternoon. Marty?
Number 2.
Yay! Yeah! Number 2! What was the point of score in that last round, by the way?
52-53, and they missed by 1 point.
1 point. Oh, okay. Thank you, everybody, for playing. I had a good time. I enjoyed it. You guys will get your prizes tomorrow. We're going to find Bob Rochette.
From May 13, 2011, the second annual Cincinnati Old Time Radio Trivia Bowl. The third annual Trivia Bowl will be held at the convention this Friday night. You can play. Hope to see you there. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.